You know, of course, that many of the psalms are essentially meant to be set to music. This one, again, is one that many Bible teachers, scholars refer to as a morning hymn, a song of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise for the morning. This particular psalm is one that we are very familiar with the background to. And so it helps us when we're reading this psalm to put it in the context of where it fits into David's life. We can't take the time to turn back to the context and read all of it because it comprises three chapters in 2 Samuel. But you may want to write it down and go back and read it in your own time just as you continue to reflect on what Psalm 3 says. It's 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 17. There you find the context of David's life that led to this prayer, the words of this psalm that are recorded for us in Psalm 3. Let's go ahead and read the psalm. It'll give you a little bit of insight into David's state of mind, his heart, and then we'll talk about the context as we dig into the theme for the message. Psalm 3, a psalm of David, here even in the title, were helped when he fled from Absalom, his son. Verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Even the title of the psalm helps us with the background when it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Even if you're unaware of the background, that statement alone would be enough to help you to recognize that this must be a dark time in David's life if he is needing to flee from his own son. The discouragement that David portrays here in Psalm 3 is prompted by the rebellion of his son Absalom. And even the years leading up to Absalom's rebellion have been challenging for David. Absalom had been estranged from David for 5 years because Absalom, after his sister Tamar was raped and assaulted by his half-brother Amnon, Absalom went and killed Amnon and had to flee for his own life. And so Absalom fled to Geshur, which was the kingdom ruled by his grandfather, and he remained there for 3 years. Even after David called for Absalom and basically told him he was welcome to return from there to Jerusalem, David still waited another 2 years before actually seeing Absalom face to face. In 2 Samuel 15, then, Absalom plotted to usurp David's throne. He sat at the gate for a whole year, talking to the people as they were coming and going, gaining and winning the heart of the people. And he gathered to himself a large following of the people of Israel. In fact, he was so well prepared and equipped to usurp the throne from his father David that David's only option was to flee Jerusalem. There was no way to defend himself. The uprising was so great. 2 Samuel 15, 13 and 14 say these words, "And there came a messenger to David saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom.' And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword.'" This was a challenging time in David's life. Can you imagine the pain with which David left Jerusalem? He gathered those together that would go with him. And they made their way out of the city of Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 15, verse number 30 presents a very sad scene when it says this in 2 Samuel 15 and verse 30. "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 3, you can understand why David would pray these words, why he would write these words, "Lord, how they are increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." 2 Samuel 15 verse 12 remarks, "The conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." David was enduring a great challenge. His complaint, we could call it that here at the beginning of Psalm 3, is addressed to the Lord. In his complaint, he said that those who gathered against him, who were rising up against him, they troubled him. That word "troubled" literally means distress. The emphasis of the word carries with it the feeling of dismay that comes from a very distressful situation. Can any of you say that you've been there? You've been troubled, you've been distressed, or even experienced a feeling of dismay because of a very distressful situation. David's troublers, those who discouraged him, even went so far as to say that God was either unable or uninterested in giving aid to David. David was facing a tremendous challenge. We might even say he was in what we might call a hopeless situation. He had been betrayed by his son, rejected by his people, and at least apparently ignored by God. Can I ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation that seemed hopeless? Perhaps you can identify with David because it is a difficult family situation, a struggle between you and a spouse, a conflict with your children or with parents. It may be that you can see yourself in David because there is a conflict with others. For some, you may identify with David simply because you're in a situation. It may not be a family conflict or struggle like that, but it may just be a situation in which you feel perhaps that God is not available to you. Perhaps in your life the battle is a sin that you're struggling with. When we think about Psalm 3, and understand the background against which it is painted, we might say that David was experiencing what we would call despair, a hopeless situation. But the point of the message this evening is not to just say David was facing despair. We can empathize with him. The point of the message as we read and understand Psalm 3 is to recognize that yes, David was in a discouraging situation, perhaps even a situation where he felt despair. But as we continue through Psalm 3, and as you understand the background against which it is painted, we recognize that David did not go into despair and remain defeated. Rather, David turned the situation and actually defeated despair. And so this evening from Psalm 3, I want to just give you a few simple thoughts about defeating despair. Defeating despair. I think there are many different ways in which we can come into situations in our lives where we can feel as if we're in despair. No hope. Why go on? Why continue anymore? Why struggle anymore? Why fight anymore? It's a hopeless situation. I continue to struggle. I continue to be defeated. I continue to be distressed. It seems like any which way I turn, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not progressing. I'm not succeeding. I'm not finding victory. Why continue struggling on? I mentioned that I read In My Utmost for His Highest, even along these terms, and the illustration that Oswald Chambers used in relation to this thought was the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus came to them again and again and again and found them sleeping and would wake them up and tell them, "Watch and pray with me." And he'd come back and find them sleeping and say, "Watch and pray with me." And he came back again the third time and found them sleeping. And he said, "Arise, let us go." Just the recognition that there are times in our lives where we are in those types of situations where we may feel despair. We may wonder, what is the point in going on and continuing the struggle anymore? If we're not progressing, if we don't seem to be finding victory, if the discouragement is just overwhelming. David certainly was in a situation where that could have been the end of the story. Just to remain in that place, the place that he mentions in verses 1 and 2. But that's not what David did. And David gives to us a very wonderful example of defeating despair. So let me give you just three thoughts about defeating despair with the time we have remaining this evening. Number one, you're going to defeat despair. Number one is simply this: remember to get alone with God. Get alone with God. I don't know what that situation may be in your life. And the reality is that it doesn't matter what the situation is, what the context is for your life. For David, it was rejected by his son, rebelled against by his people. At least on an apparent outward sense, being ignored by God. That was his context. What's yours? What's the hopeless situation? The situation that you feel like you're not progressing, you're not getting victory in. What's your situation? Put yourself in the context. It doesn't really matter what your specific context is. Getting alone with God is a needful and will be a very meaningful step in that situation. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 3 again. David says, "But thou." Don't you love those transitions in the Word of God? You find them over and over again in God's Word, where you see words like what we find in verses 1 and 2, words that seem hopeless, full of despair and discouragement, but then see something like, "But God," or "But thou, O Lord." He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." Selah. Whatever situation you may find yourself in that seems hopeless, that would fill you with despair, in that situation, remember to get alone with God. In 2 Samuel 15, verse number 30, we read that David was, he was going up Mount Olivet. And as he was weeping. He had his head covered, which denotes grief and sorrow. He went barefoot. He's the king of Israel. And he's walking up the mount barefoot, and all of the people of Israel that are with him are weeping and in the same condition. But then in verse number 32 of 2 Samuel 15, it says, "And it came to pass that when David was come to the mount, top of the mount," listen, "where he worshiped God." How often was this the response of David in these situations? How often do we see in the Word of God where David is in a situation like the one he was in 2 Samuel 15, that is what Psalm 3 was all about, where he's discouraged and he's distressed and he doesn't know where to turn. And the Bible will tell us that he encourages himself in the Lord. He worships God. He speaks to his own soul and tells his soul to hope in God. I can't say for sure that verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 3 represent what took place in Psalm 15, but I do know without a doubt that in the deepest, darkest place of that situation, David got alone with God and he worshiped the Lord. Some things happen when you get alone with God. I believe when you get alone with God, you consider who He is. You should consider who He is. We often need to be reminded of who our God is, don't we? Just to reflect on who our God is. Throughout Psalm 3, David used two distinct names of God. He used the name of God, Jehovah. It's represented in our text by Lord in all capital letters. God who is the I Am that I Am of Exodus 3:14. God who is the eternal, unchanging, all-sufficient God. God who is the covenant-keeping God. He's the promise-keeping God. And you may remember that God had made specific promises to David. And I'm sure that as David got alone with God and he spent time worshiping God, that David reflected on who God was, recognizing God as Jehovah, the all-sufficient, unchanging, eternal, promise-keeping God. He recognized God as Elohim twice in Psalm 3. He uses that name for God. Elohim is the name of God that represents the strength and the might that are His. When you read Genesis 1, the God of creation, Elohim is the name that is used throughout Genesis 1. It's the God of creative power. You see, when David got alone with God, he worshiped the Lord. He reflected on who God was. He's the unchanging, eternal, promise-keeping God. He's the God of strength and power and might. My friends, when you're in that situation where you seem to be getting nowhere, get alone with God and consider who He is. Get alone with God and consider what He has done. David says, "God, You're a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." As David is reflecting on who God is and what God has done, he remembered three characteristics of God's mercies towards him. He remembered that God is a defense for the defenseless. He says, "God, You are a shield for me." Charles Spurgeon wrote of this that the word in the original signifies more than a shield. It means a buckler round about, a protection which shall surround a man entirely, a shield above, beneath, around, without, and within. Oh, what a shield is God for His people. He wards off the fiery darts of Satan from beneath and the storm of trials from above, while at the same instant He speaks peace to the tempest within the breast. How often we can be conflicted and be opposed by both the enemy from without as well as the enemy within. David, as he reflected on who God was and what God had done, he remembered that God is a defense for the defenseless, a shield for me. He said, God, You are my glory. You're my glory. You know what David took time to reflect upon? All that David was, he owed to God. I don't know about you today, but that's true of me. All that I am, I owe to God. There is nothing, nothing about me that is good that I can claim of myself. Anything about me that is good, I owe completely to God. And then he said, God, You're a joy for the comfortless. You know, as we saw in 2 Samuel 15, verse 30, David's head was covered. Recognize sorrow, grief. But God is the joy for the comfortless. When you're in those situations where you too would hang your head in grief and sorrow, God is the lifter up of the head. That denotes the language that David used, denotes that God gives comfort and help. He is, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the God of all comfort who comforteth all those who are in any affliction. Get alone with God and consider who He is, consider what He has done, and then thirdly, consider what he hears. What did David say in verse number 4? I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He what? Heard me. Psalm 34, verse 17, the Bible says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. When you're in despair, get alone with God. Secondly, trust God. That can be a challenge sometimes, can it? Especially if you believe and sense that you have been trusting God and yet you don't seem to be moving anywhere. You feel that you have been trusting God and you come into a difficult situation. And you sit back and you think, well, I have been trusting God. Why then am I moving into a difficult situation? Maybe I didn't trust enough. Or maybe it's just not profitable, beneficial. Look at verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 3, if you would. Now remember, David, this is what he is saying as he's fleeing Absalom. This wasn't years removed as he reflects. This is David's prayer to God. And this is what took place as he's fleeing from Absalom. He took time to get alone with God. And then what happened? He says, I laid me down and slept. David, how in that situation could you lay down and go to sleep? And yet David testifies to us that in that present circumstance that he faced, he laid down and he slept peacefully. He says, I awaked for the Lord sustained me. That word literally denotes a support or an upholding. God was there supporting and upholding him. in Psalm 4, which is a companion psalm to Psalm 3 and verse number 8, David declared this, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." I'm going to lay down and go to sleep and sleep peacefully because I know that God is the only one who can make me dwell in safety, who can keep me safe, who can give me that support and uphold me. How many of us in situations that are difficult, situations that would cause despair, have lost sleep? I have. And there have been times I know that the lack of sleep was not just because I ate too much pizza late at night, drank too much Mountain Dew right before bed or anything like that. There have been times in my life, as I'm sure there have been in yours, when I laid down and I could not sleep. And I knew the reason I couldn't sleep was because of the situation I was in that was consuming my thoughts and my heart. David, in a situation like that, got alone with God. And then he said, "You know what I did? I laid down and I went to sleep." He gave it completely to God. He was fleeing from his rebel son. His rebel son had been joined by a host of disloyal subjects who were ready to take his life. Yet David was able to rest confidently and peacefully in the Lord because he recognized that God alone was in control and that God alone could afford him the protection that he needed. There was nothing that David could do. Ironside said this, "He," speaking of David, "is safe, for he has handed over everything to God." In other words, David said, "I just had a real good sleep with all the foes seeking my destruction." It is only when you hand everything over to God that that can be possible. After all, the battle is not yours, but God's. Psalm 27 verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 56 verse 3 simply reminds us this, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Trust in God. And then thirdly, remember God's power. Verses 7 and 8, David says, "Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon Thy people." Selah. Two things that David recognized about God in these two verses. Number one, he recognized that God has power to defeat the enemy. Had there been times in David's life prior to this that God had shown David that he could defeat an enemy that was too strong for David? Yeah. Goliath was too strong for David. No question about it. If we were, and I'm not insinuating that anybody is, okay? But if we were betting people and we had an opportunity to set up a bet when we saw David and Goliath on the field of battle, I dare say that any of us would have placed any money on David. I mean, there was no way David could defeat that enemy himself. There were times throughout David's reign as king of Israel that the enemies outnumbered and out-resourced David and Israel. But God had given them victory time and time and time again. And now in this situation, David remembered God, who had in former times shown himself strong for David in defeating his enemies. And because of that, David was confident that God could and would do so again. The language here expresses that God was powerful to injure and disarm David's foes effectively. The cheekbone being considered the point of contact which inflicts the greatest amount of pain and the highest degree of insult, while the broken teeth represent a wild animal that has been rendered harmless. as if a wild prey that is coming after you, chomping at the bit, as it were, to get you, and all the while it's completely toothless, has no ability to inflict any harm. Ironside said, "You cannot do much biting if your teeth are broken." They were just like a lot of yelping dogs after David, but he sees them with broken teeth, and this long before the battle was fought. When eventually the army of Absalom came against Joab and the army of David and were defeated, it was no more real to David then as when he handed it over to God in the wilderness when he fled. Because David knew God had power to defeat the enemy. And then David knew God had power to deliver the saint. He says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." The word salvation here in context is not speaking of salvation from sin in the sense that we often think of salvation. Salvation here simply represents deliverance. The original word used here is used about 78 times in the Old Testament. And generally speaking, God is the subject when the word is used. And it's most often used in the context of rejoicing for deliverance or praying for deliverance. Here, David is neither rejoicing for deliverance or praying for it. He is simply stating a fact. Deliverance is of the Lord. No matter what situation you might find yourself in, just as David recognized here, it wasn't going to be about his strength or his abilities. It was all about God's. The situations that we often find ourselves in that bring discouragement, distress, even to the point of despair, that we try to figure out on our own. Ultimately, it's not about our abilities, our strength, our resources. It's all about God's. I wonder if you find yourself in a situation like that tonight. Have at times in the past, or will in the near future. When you are or do, recognize that you do not need to be defeated by despair. Whatever your situation is, you can defeat the despair of that situation if you'll do what David did. Get alone with God. Trust in God. Remember the power of God. God will work. Would you bow your heads with me this evening? I know that there have been many in our church over the last few months who have dealt with some very difficult situations. And some of you may have that I'm not aware of. I know that this is a need that God has been dealing with my heart about recently. We can all be prone to get into situations where we begin to sense despair. But that does not need to be what we feel in a difficult situation. We do not need to be defeated. Maybe tonight God's working in your heart. Maybe God's encouraged you, challenged you. If He has, I want to encourage you right now, right there where you sit. Just speak to the Lord. Maybe tonight your prayer would simply be, "God, I'm in that situation right now. And I've been discouraged. I've been even to the point of despair. Help me to get alone with You, to find that time that I need to just spend time in Your presence, worship You. Think about who You are, what You've done, what You hear, to trust You, to remember that you're the God of all power. Deliverance is of you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. Lord, I pray this evening that you would encourage us. There are some in this auditorium who needed this message. There are some who are listening by way of the internet or will listen by way of the internet who need this message. And I pray that you would use it, that you would encourage the hearts that need encouraging. May we, Lord, in those times of despair, get alone with you, trust you, remember your awesome power. Thank you for the example of David. May we learn from it. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.